Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, Top Shelf Fantasy fans out there, coming to you with a 2025 Fantasy Awards. We'll get you the MVPs, some steals, some busts, fantasy MVPs, sleepers, all that fun stuff. We're also going to dive into, we're going to review the division playoff round, and we're going to preview the conference championship round as well for the AFC and the NFC, of course. Podcast 237. Dows, me in the house. Dows, thanks for dropping in before your boy time watching the UFC fights.
Yeah, boy time is one way to put it. I like that.
It's man time. We're men.
We're men. Manly men, men.
Yep. How's it going?
Great to be back. Great to be on the pod. Getting everything wrapped up really for this year. It's like, this is kind of the slow fantasy football time because, like, Dynasty, you're all paused, waiting for the season to end. No, like, most leagues are frozen, unless you're in a psycho league where you're just fully open. Redraft's been dead for a while now, so this is, like, the lull. But you're probably, if you're like us, like, or most of us, as soon as the Super Bowl hits, you're, like, ready for the next year. So you can reopen trading. Year starts, like, shortly thereafter. So we're not far away. We're like, if you are a psycho fantasy player that loves Dynasty, you are – less than a month away from being back in the swing of, like, what am I going to do with my team? Which is awesome.
Yeah, I got to update the our Red Dog Walker salary league, all those spreadsheets, because the second the Super Bowl ends, people are going to want to see everything, and I have to update that. So,
like, start chipping good away at it now so you don't
have to do all of it. Yeah, and then you get everyone look at your team and make sure it's good, and then comes draft day. Oh, this is completely wrong. All right.
I've been asking for 4 months. But okay.
Yeah, we have dilemmas with that league. Great group of guys.
Great group of guys.
Yep.
Great at filling out schedules. Yeah,
horrible at Excel. but that's a different topic. We won't bore you with that. We'll get into some news before we get into the awards. The biggest news this time of the season is head coaching firings. You know, we got some playoff teams that let go of guys, some people to step down, and then we got the coaches that are already hired. I mean, we've seen this in the past couple of years. The head coach carousel is crazier every year, and these guys want to land, you know, the top guy out there as soon as possible. Like, I feel like in the past we saw, like, oh, Super Bowl's over, now it's the time to do these interviews. And now it's like we have, what, six teams already have new head coaches. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, we had, you know, hirings and firings as soon as the season ended. Like, kind of, I don't want to say unprecedented, but yeah, it's getting crazier. There used to be, like, a longer process, it seemed, and now people kind of ID their guy. And I would say this year with, like, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but with, like, Harbaugh out there, people, they knew they wanted him, right? So they were like, as soon as he's available, he's better than the guy we had. That's who we're going after. So I guess that makes it a little bit different, but there's a lot of movement very early in the process here.
Yep. Mike Tomlin steps down from the Pittsburgh head coaching job. It was a mutual thing. He wanted to take a break, I think, for at least a year. It's too bad because with the coaches out there now, he's probably up there for the top candidate for any team. I think it's kind of a weaker coaching tree besides Harbaugh at this time. So Tomlin's stepping away. He's taking the year off for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh now comes and hires Mike McCarthy. So it's the perfect coach to get you to 500 and lose in the first wild card round for the 10th year in a row. So
that's the thing with so many of these moves that we're going to talk about is, like, it just feels like a lateral move. Has your team gotten better with this coach, or is it just you fired the guy because he didn't get you to the playoffs or didn't win a playoff game or whatever it may be. I don't know. Very strange. The Mike Tomlin one, though, I think he did say he was going into the broadcast booth, so at least he has,
A plan.
or I don't know if it's broadcaster, analyst, or whatever, but he's got something lined up. Maybe he takes a breather. He's been doing this a long time. He's been doing this since Bill Cowher was there, and what was he? He was gone by the time we were 10 years old.
Exactly.
Think of it that way. Mike Tomlin's been the coach of the Steelers our entire lives, for better or worse.
Yeah, and I mean he's done a good job with the roster he's had, but losing the first round every year, ever since Big Ben left, and even the last couple of years he was there, it was the same outcome. Like, cool, you made playoffs, but now your draft pick's in the middle of the round. You're never going to get a top pick because you just can't pick a season to say, hey, let's, punt it.
And then they bring
So,
in Mike McCarthy, who's never been much of a schemer, but say he's just been a leader of established guys. He's always kind of been tied to a good quarterback. I mean, maybe, I guess, where Dak falls on your own personal scale, good quarterback, but I think Dak's a good quarterback. So, but Mike McCarthy goes there, and I think that they said he expects to be able to convince Aaron Rodgers to come back for an extra season, which would be interesting because Aaron Rodgers seemed very non-committal about returning for another year. So, if that's part of it and they don't plan on drafting another quarterback, or they plan on taking a shot at a development project, that's kind of interesting from that perspective. If not, this might be the first time we've seen Mike McCarthy really develop a quarterback since Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre, which I don't know how much developing he was doing, kind of sat there for quite a while. And then he was out of town before Jordan Love really came to fruition. He was already in Dallas. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And I don't think there's anybody else on the Pittsburgh roster that's like a viable development candidate. You're not going to say Mason Rudolph. Let's see what he's got again. We've seen what he's got. It's not much.
John Harbaugh will join the Giants as a new head coach. He had a few things lined up. He was one of those. They got him in there, and he wasn't leaving without a contract. I want to say it was was it 5 years, 100 mil or something?
Some huge like that, plus his staff budget is one of the biggest in the league. They said pretty much we'll give you whatever you want to fill out your staff. Like, that's huge. I mean, I know him and Shane had some sort of back and forth about who got final say on roster decisions, and then they gave a pretty like unclear press conference where Harbaugh was like, yeah, it's me, and then Shane was like, no, it's me, and the owners were like, eh, it's us. So you're gonna have the same kind of confusion that you've had in the New York Giants organization for years now. But I think Harbaugh, with the way that he kind of helped build the Ravens with Ozzie Newsome, I think him and the GM seem to work in concert with one another a lot better than a lot of guys do. So if he can get on the same page, I think the Giants have a great future. I mean, they're not a ton of pieces away, which helps. I like they have a great running back in Scadabo as long as he can stay healthy. They have a good young quarterback who seems like he's got some upside. They obviously need help on the offensive line, some defensive positions, but they started to turn around, and then they have Malik Nabers outside. So you're not really far away from a
Theo
certain.
Johnson, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson, best ever do it.
And sounds like Monken will be the OC. I don't know if that's changed since the last time I put this in the docket, but you said he's got his choice of kind of who he wants to bring in. I mean, he's worked well with these guys before, so you might as well give him the reins.
The strangest thing to me about the Monken hire and the desire for Harbaugh to bring him with him is that Harbaugh really was, given his walking papers in Baltimore because he had a kind of bad offense. So I don't really get, I mean, the defense is a problem in Baltimore too, I suppose. So you can't really look past that. But very strange, like, that he really, really wants this guy to come with him, other than they're just buddies and, he wants to bring him along for the ride.
Yeah, it's true. George Kittle, he tore his Achilles the first round of the playoffs. They went on to win that game, then lost to Seattle by 85 points.
Brilliant.
But I mean, he's 32 years old. It's going to be a long, tough road back. I know tight ends these days can play, well past 32. You get Kelce, who's I think 35, 36 right now, but I don't think Kelce's ever had a, late career Achilles injury like Kittle has. And this is a guy who's blocking more than any tight end in the entire league, where Kelce is mainly just run out there, I'll find you, I'll dump it off to you kind of guy.
Yeah, it's not a great injury if you own him in dynasty leagues. I would say if you can move him for anything, I'd be looking to move him immediately. You'll be taking next to nothing for him, but I don't know how much football he's got left in him. I don't know how much desire to play football he has left in him. It seems like every year he's had a brutal rehab to go through every single offseason. 32 years old, he's made his money. Like, why keep doing this? Do you really think the Niners are going to be a top of the table team next year? I don't know. Like, they're losing pieces, they're hemorrhaging players. You've got Ayuk, who doesn't even want to show up to the field. CMC's not long for this world. Like, you got, I don't know. You got a lot of people. Fred Warner just had a brutal injury that he couldn't come back from. I know he was fighting to make it back last year. Like,
Yeah.
you got a lot of pieces that are questionable in San Fran that maybe Kittle just goes, I'm not gonna put myself through this brutal rehab to make it back to play one more year, maybe two. I don't know. If I'm a Kittle owner, I know you were and you sold him last year, so you timed it
Thank God
perfectly.
we're
But
first.
that's a tough one to hang on to.
Yep. Bills fire Sean McDermott after the loss to the Broncos, Jesus Christ, who'd they lose to? And I mean, the Bills is, I don't know, are they turning into a dumpster fire? Because the entire ownership and everyone said, we'll get to the game, but Brandon Cooks made the catch. It wasn't an interception, so we should have won that game. The ref screwed us, but we fired Sean McDermott because we lost the game. It's like, well, if you said you only lost because the refs and McDermott did his job, then you're hypocritical. Like, that's, you can't just say, oh, we lost the game, so you fired him, and then say, oh, we only lost because the refs screwed us.
Yeah, total loser mentality to go out and say the ref screwed you in the first place. Secondary loser mentality to say that you fired the coach because of one loss. You want to pin the blame on somebody. It's Josh Allen missing either Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox, one of them, on a wide open flag route
Yeah,
that he
and what,
defended.
three?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Touchdown.
Yeah,
Yeah, no contact.
three
So
fumbles too,
yeah,
like.
like that's who you're blaming, and you can't look past that. So yeah, Bills fire McDermott. He takes it, falls on his sword, so to speak. Now they're talking to Phil Rivers for interviewing. I don't understand this move. I mean, I didn't like the McDermott firing. I don't like McDermott either. Actually, one of my least favorite coaches in the league.
Same.
But 98-50 is a great record. Like, I don't know what coach you're bringing in that's going to get you over that hump. And it's not Phil Rivers. He's not a first-time head coach.
No, that's like you're starting not from scratch, but it's like, all right, if he fails in the first 3 years, it's fine. He's a new coach kind of thing,
And
and
you're not with Josh Allen. I don't
you're
say he's
not that team.
closing. He's 30 years old. He's got plenty of time, that quarterback. But they need more pieces around Josh Allen. And Phil Rivers might be a whiz at offense. I don't know. I would assume so. He played quarterback at a high level for a long time. He's still playing quarterback essentially in the NFL until this year. And I'd love to see him, kind of learn a little bit as an offensive coordinator for a while. We've seen teams do this and elevate guys too quickly. The Patriots did it with Rod Mayo. Like, didn't have enough time, didn't really have the respect of the locker room, didn't have what he needed to be a success, and it failed and definitely set his career back. Phil Rivers, I think, is a lot of the same things if you put him in this role too quickly. And I think if you have struggles in your offensive scheme, which you've seen, I don't know that a first-time head coach is the guy to come in and solve all those problems. A guy like Mike Tomlin would be fantastic for this position, but he doesn't seem to want to coach this year. So I'm very interested in seeing how this position and how this coach search plays out, because no matter who comes in, you are looking at a monumental change to how football is played in Buffalo. And if you have Josh Allen on your team, you've loved his fantasy output for the last several seasons. you might be looking at something different coming forward. They could decide very well to use James Cook, their hyper elite running back, a lot more, and maybe take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands a little bit more during the regular season. You've seen him in playoffs crumble, and I'm not going to give him the out and say it's all because of injury, but by the time he gets to the playoffs every year, he has so many injuries that we all hear about every single season. Let's try to get him there healthy, everyone.
I don't want to continue too much on the Bills because we can talk about the Keon Coleman thing and everything like that, but it's just childish. Their press conferences, their interviews, it's like, just shut up. Like
It's
you
all
it's just
blame.
like, no, it's his fault. It's not my, and it's like, well, why would you talk about a guy that's still in your locker room? He's still signed your team. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, it absolute like Jets style move. Like you said, it's childish. Like that's what your kids say is it wasn't me, it was so and so and so and so. Like can't take
And then
responsibility.
there's video proving that no, it was you.
Right.
Like you can't just go back on that. It's just bad. I'll just hammer through the rest of the coaches that got hired. Mike McDaniel, former Miami coach. I believe he Fisher took the Chargers OC job. Mike McCarthy, like we said before, goes to Pittsburgh. Kevin Stefanski from Cleveland goes to Atlanta. Baltimore hires Jesse Minter, the former Chargers defensive coordinator. Robert Saleh has been around. He's the new Tennessee head coach. And Jeff Hafley goes to Miami. That's a Green Bay defensive coordinator from last year. And no one wants to take the Browns job.
Literally, they can't even get interviews. They've been asking, and people are like, no, thanks, I'm good. Like,
it's bad. Yeah, why would I do that? There's no point. Because, like,
great
anyone.
defense, quarterback issues up the wazoo. Like, you don't want it. That's why I was surprised that Stefanski was so keen on going to Atlanta. He's going from one quarterback controversy to, I don't want to say a controversy, but a complete uncertainty with. Is Kirk Cousins going to come back and play while Michael Penix rehabs his third ACL tear? I don't know. That it's a weird job. They're a good team though, so I guess why would you say no to it? But
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
we'll probably draft another one. Maybe Dylan Gabriel will come over.
All right. Let's get into the Fantasy Football Awards. Woo! All right, we'll start with the MVP. I just did a person from each position, and we'll just pick who we think it is. So we have Josh Allen for quarterback, McCaffrey for running back, Puka Nacua for wide receiver, and Trey McBride, of course, for tight end. I know a lot of people gave the MVP to McCaffrey or Puka this year, so we can easily do that as well. I'll make the argument for Trey McBride, though. I believe the difference between tight end one and tight end two is the same between the same between tight end two and tight end 28. If that
Yeah.
makes sense, like 100
Oh
points
yeah, like
more than
100
Kyle
points.
Pitts, then Kyle Pitts is 100 more points than the tight end 28, which is like Evan Ingram, I think.
It was a huge like regression year for the tight end position across the board. There really were not a ton of elite guys. You had maybe a breakout performance here and there. McBride was one of the only consistent weekly leave him in your lineup and don't even worry about it guys. And you know, even Kyle Pitts, he had what, two huge games and that was really it. McBride was every week. So I will definitely hear that argument. I think for me, the MVP has to be Puka, just from when you factor in what he gave you in your fantasy playoffs, which isn't necessarily fair, but he also did it pretty much all season. Just a huge output from him consistently, like 25 points a game and you know, for large stretches of the season. For me, Puka's the guy. I don't think you can go wrong with any of these guys, but I would take Puka on this list.
All right, I'll take Puka. I mean, I love Puka. Yeah, I mean, consistent as hell. A guy you don't have to worry about at all. Like, even his bad weeks are like 15 points, and that's doable. All right, Puka, you have won the MVP of the 25 season. All right, you want to take the sleepers? Go through that
Yeah.
list.
Sleepers are good this year. Sometimes you have a year with not that many, but with this one we have a good one. Wan'Dale Robinson finishes wide receiver 13 against a wide receiver 70 ADP. Rico Dowdle finishes RB 16 against an RB 57 ADP. Javonte Williams, RB 11 against RB 40 draft position. And then two quarterbacks, the dueling MVP candidates, Matt Stafford and Drake May quarterback two, Matt Stafford quarterback three against a 16 and 25 ADP respectively. So I don't
It's
know.
tough.
Yeah, that this is a hard one. I think if you go like deepest sleeper, I think you have to give it to Javonte just because of how deep the running back position is and how many injuries there were. You probably needed him. I think if you drafted Drake May or Matt Stafford in any league, you probably didn't draft them as starters. They may have been backups or QB2 in most formats. So yes, you got them as massive value at those positions, but they were your second quarterback anyway. So it kind of, I don't know, diminishes the sleeperness of them. Like you planned on playing two quarterbacks, so they're not humongous sleepers. But for me, it's between Javonte and Wandale. Dowdle's up there too for some of the monster games, but I think Javonte and Wandale for the week by week, like consistent guy that you could plug in your flex and be like thrilled about for what you spent on them, which is next to nothing. Can't beat it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Javonte. I think consistently all season he was legit. Wandell was too, but it came more when Malik Neighbors did get hurt, which is still n no excuse. I mean, that's why he's up there. Both definitely deserving, but I think I gotta go to Javonte, especially because everyone's like, don't draft him. Jaden Blue's the guy. Like, it's just he just kind of just proved everyone wrong, and it's like, all right. I forgot how good he was his first couple years before he got hurt. So, I mean, we do see it. Last year, he was still rehabbing while playing. You see these guys take a year to get back. And, I mean, he showed us, and Dallas will drop the ball and not re-sign him.
Tale as old as time.
Yep. All right. So, sleepers pretty much guys that you definitely drafted late. We'll have a waiver wire pickup guy. Later as well. The biggest steal of the fantasy football season, we have George Pickens finished as wide receiver four, which was in a wide receiver 26 ADP. Chris Olave, wide receiver six with wide receiver 33 ADP. And Travis Etienne, RB9 with the RB31 ADP. That was Dallas's bounce back player. And yeah, that was a good hit.
Thank you. Thank you. I think you could equivalently call this category like trust the talent, and it would play out kind of similarly, right? These are all guys that all offseason you were worried about. Pickens, how's he going to split with CD? Chris Olave, he has a concussion. He's had 20 of them. How's he going to do with no quarterback? Etienne, am I worried about the guys behind him, Tutin and Bigsby? Is this Jags offense going to be legitimate under new head coach Liam Cohen? So these are all guys, if you pick them and you trust the talent, you got them for way, way better value than you really would have in any other given year. For me, the winner of this is Chris Olave. I think he has to be considered the biggest steal from what people said about him. He won't play. He's one hit away from being done. He has
No,
quarterback.
quarterback. Yep.
I think it's Olave.
I'm picking Olave too because he's had it was the quietest wide receiver six season I've ever heard of, I've ever seen. I think towards the end of the year, Dallas, you were like, wait, he's wide receiver six? Like, people are not even talking about him. Like, I thought it was like, oh, wide receiver 15, 16, sure, it's fine, still win. But no, he was actually crushing it with multiple quarterbacks.
I went to
And
trade him and I couldn't get anything. And I'm like, he's wide receiver six.
people, I no one talked about him because it was JSN, Puka, and then you're still focused on Jefferson, Lamb, Chase. Like, even if they're not doing good, you're still focused on them. Then it's like there's this guy Pickens and Olave that are right where those guys are supposed to be, and they're not. So, yeah, I mean, great season for problem. Travis Etienne, I'm glad I got him in a bunch of leagues that helped a lot. So Chris Olave wins that one, but it just shows follow the talent,
Yeah,
follow the talent,
talent
follow the
in good
money.
offenses or just talent, period. I mean, Olave is not on a good offense by any means, but it all works out. We move on to the waiver wire pickup of the year. We have Parker Washington, finished wide receiver 32, Michael Wilson, wide receiver 16, Jacoby Brissett, quarterback 17, Kenneth Gainwell, RB21, and
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Harold Fannin, tight end 5. Definitely guys that you didn't draft in any redraft league for sure. Some of these guys you probably didn't even have holding on to in Dynasty. I think a lot of people were letting go of Kenneth Gainwell, and he came through and had a massive season for what he was expected to do.
Yep.
This is a tough pick. I think kind of biased for myself, I would go Michael Wilson just because of what he did when Marvin Harrison went down or, you know, was out. But it's tough to not want to give it to Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah, I'm picking Michael Wilson. I mean, every one of these guys probably deserves it. I mean, Brissett QB17 would be higher if he played all season. This is just, you know, he didn't come in until Kyler got hurt. But Michael Wilson did do well when Harrison was out and when Harrison was back playing alongside him. And there's definitely going to be convos of who do you take first next year, I think. Wilson or Harrison, people are going to say, oh, it's Harrison because, you know, he was drafted so early. But this stuff happens. Like, Michael Wilson's a good freaking player. And we saw it last year. Like, it's not just because, oh, he got force-fed, which is true, but he's also doing this with Trey McBride there, who demands all these targets a game. I don't know. Wilson's legit, and I grabbed him in at least one Dynasty League. I grabbed Parker Washington in 3 Dynasty Leagues, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even with deep benches, there's still guys out there.
Yeah, Parker Washington, I mean, managed to get it done with even when Brian Thomas, Jacoby Myers was brought in. Christian Kirk was still there, I think. No, that was
last year.
there's another guy, I just can't remember his name. Doesn't matter, though. He managed to get it done. He's on the field. He makes plays. And, I mean, wide receiver 32 is a very valid flex play in any format. So, I don't know. I think any of these guys you can't go wrong with. Harold Fan is another one. He managed to be tight end 5 when everybody said it's going to be Njoku still. He's a backup, blah, 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 blah. Like, again, the guy was one of the most productive tight ends in college history and got no hype coming in, ends up on the shitty Browns, no quarterback, puts up a tight end 5 season. Like,
yep.
He should only get better from here.
Yep. Yep. So I think overall we'll give it to Michael Wilson, waiver wire pickup of the year. Playoff MVP, I just put Bijan here. I know we talked about that in our last podcast, and then we kind of decided anyways then it's Bijan. He had a hell of a, I think it was week 16, he had that massive game. And yeah, I just got to give it to Bijan.
It's just cut and dry, it's Bijan. You could talk about guys like Ramondre who had some big games, but Bijan was every week of playoffs, he crushed it for you, like huge, huge games. I just remember sitting there going like, oh, it'd be really great if like Bijan just housed one here and he takes an 85 to the house. You're like, oh, hey, cool. Can I just ask for stuff and it'll happen? I like that.
Yep, that's always nice. All right, last one, our bust of the year. You got a great list. Brian Thomas, wide receiver 44, wide receiver 8 ADP. Alvin Kamara, RB 46, RB 15 ADP. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver 28, wide receiver 2 ADP. Lamar Jackson, QB 20, QB 1 ADP. TJ Hawkinson, tight end 23, tight end 6 ADP. And then Saquon Barkley, RB 13 with an RB 2 ADP.
Yeah. For me, this is pretty easy. It's Justin Jefferson, like cut and dry. I think it's really between him and Brian Thomas. But for everybody else on this list not named Justin Jefferson, you can say that they were hurt. Or Saquon Barkley had a fine season anyways. Not as good as you hope, but he was fine. He didn't kill you.
Yep. Yep.
Everybody else was hurt at some point, or TJ Hawkinson just sucked. So okay, well, so if you weren't on the Vikings, you were hurt. But Jefferson and Hawkinson just nothing got going on that offense. You can blame the quarterback, but you can blame any number of things, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day,
it's the outcome.
Those guys are bad. And you drafted them high. I mean, you drafted Justin Jefferson high. You drafted Hawkinson kind of high for a tight end, but not super high. But what you spent on Justin Jefferson in the first round probably ruined your season.
Yeah, you got to go back and see what Ronnie took these guys, and he's a early to mid first round pick.
I mean, I still had
And
leagues where he was first off the board this year. Like,
yeah, between Chase and him and CD, probably maybe Bijan, but yeah, I was going to say Brian Thomas, but again, yeah, he did miss games. But yeah, Justin Jefferson, a guy that's supposed to be top three every year. No matter what the quarterback is, horrific season for him. So hopefully he'll be better next year. Oh God, scares the crap out of me. All right, let's get to our division round review. We got Denver beating the Bills 33-30 last week, and of course the biggest controversy was the Brandon Cooks not catch. It was an interception. They called it. I thought it was a catch.
you thought it was a
Dallas,
catch
I think it was
because
a
it was a
catch.
catch. So here's what it is. Brandon Cooks is the only one with any claim to that ball while he's still up. So he caught it. Then his knee goes down, and the defender maybe has like a fingertip on it. He doesn't have any possession. He certainly doesn't have possession. Maybe he's touching the ball, does not have possession. Brandon Cooks' knee is down. He's down. Ball's over. Ball doesn't get, doesn't touch the ground. Defender rips it out. They call it an interception. Fine. All those refs had to do was throw a flag and just say he's holding. You know what? We're going to bump the Bills back 10 yards and replay the down. Like, problem solved. I just fixed the NFL playoffs. No problem.
Yep.
But with everything surrounding this catch, was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Did the refs cost us the game? Did they not? Blah, 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 blah. I said it at the top of the podcast. Josh Allen lost this game when he missed a wide open tight end on a wide open touchdown to walk into the end zone and end it. Like, it's a throw you have to make. You're an NFL quarterback. You're paid very well. Throwing to a very highly paid tight end, make the throw. I don't really have a lot of sympathy for you shooting yourself in the foot and then crying about it after the fact. Also, great, you get screwed by the refs. It's not the first time that it happened in the NFL. It's not going to be the last time. Go out and play defense and get a stop. I don't have to tell you. They didn't immediately make you give up a humongous gain going the other direction. That was you. That was you guys on the field. So I don't know. You can cry poor me as much as you want. I don't have that much sympathy.
Yeah, I mean it's that it's the ball security from Josh Allen that game was horrific. That one fumble where it looks like he just threw the ball backwards. He's done it a few times in the playoffs, and he's just trying to do too much, which I guess he has to with the weapons he has. But yeah, and not only that for Josh Allen and the Bills. Bo Nix gets hurt the second to last play of the game, and this is a play where me and Dallas are texting, like, what is that play call? Like, just run up the middle with Harvey, get a yard or minus one, like, who cares? Like, it made no sense to roll out Nix
No reason to
and.
call a quarterback crack sweep to the left unprotected with your franchise quarterback on the last play of the game just to get to the left hash. Like, I don't, makes no sense.
It makes no, and then that's the one play got hurt. So I could not believe it on Saturday night. I'm putting my kid down in bed, and I get a thing on my phone. I'm like, all right, we'll pause the book. I gotta see this because the other game was on. So all someone scored, and then I saw that. Then I text everyone. They're like, oh yeah,
I thought you were
imagine,
kidding. What's that
imagine
big deal?
if like Bo Nix didn't play against the Pats. And like, oh my God, he's out for the season.
I literally
He's
thought you
on
were just like willing
IR.
it into existence because you text us like Nick broke his ankle or something like that, and I was like,
Okay.
don't know, it's too fast. You wouldn't know that. Boom, you're right. Yeah. So again, this is the NFL is not happy about this. Like, trust me, they do not want. No matter how many people they trot out on TV to say that Jarrett Stidham can play quarterback, they don't believe that. This is not going to be an entertaining football game. Like,
You want to
Stidham
have
is very good, but Jarrett
the,
Stidham is
yeah.
not Bo Nix. The Broncos just became 100 times less interesting.
And of course we're big Pats fans if you don't know that, but I think we're both very realistic fans of the Patriots of the NFL. And I have people that are saying like, dude, like Stidham, it might be better for Denver because of this. And I'm like, stop making excuses, guys. Like, we got so lucky. Shut up. We got so lucky.
It's
If
all
you
their
can't
shit.
say that, then I don't know what. Like, there can't be an easier path to the Super Bowl. And if we lose the game, then it's a very bad look. Not like I told you Stidham was good. It's a bad look if we couldn't stop Jarrett
That's exactly it. The guy has not thrown a pass in the NFL in 3 years.
He's the only they're the only. They're the only team in the NFL this season where the backup didn't throw one pass in a game. The only team. So he hasn't even touched an NFL field this year and threw a pass.
Which is
So,
just,
yeah.
again, you cannot, with the defense the Patriots have been putting out on the field against quarterbacks that are better than Jarrett Stidham, Justin Herbert specifically, Stroud's had his struggles, we'll get to that. But if you get diced up by Jarrett Stidham, you have problems. Now, is Stidham a fairly mobile quarterback? Yes. But is he any different than Bo Nix in terms of being able to throw and run? No, not really. So whatever game plan you have for Bo Nix, the game plan doesn't change other than he's a worse thrower. So I don't know. Just don't overthink it. You should be fine. But I guess we'll see. Crazier things have happened. The Patriots lost to Nick Foles. Don't ever forget that.
Speaking of the Patriots, they beat the Texans 28-16.
Yep. They said it was because I was there and I was cheering loud, so like it was mostly me.
You were there. God, you must have just loved watching Stroud not be able to throw an accurate ball all games. I told you guys. He
Oh.
sucks.
I was just like, what happened to this guy? The whole section was getting in on him. But it is wild. The Patriots, he threw four interceptions, turned the ball over four times. The Patriots scored 3 points on those turnovers, a field goal and three and outs, or quick. I don't know if they're all three and outs, but three very quick drives where they ended up punting. So it wasn't even Stroud's, like, I don't know, mistakes that cost him, or interceptions, I should say, that cost him specifically. But it was just like a continual loss of field position that then the Patriots benefited from. And like, I would say that the Houston defense was not as advertised, but they're damn good. Like, they played a good game. Just Stroud gives them short fields, and there's only so much they can do. But they got to figure something out because Stroud is taking, or has taken, massive step back from his rookie season. Like, sophomore year was a step down, and this year was like
Bad.
another step down, like, realistically.
And especially a Houston defense that really did well against Drake May. I mean, Drake May himself had ball security issues, threw some picks. He put the ball on the ground 5 times, lost two of them or three of them. One was in our own territory on the 2 yard line, and we got it back. If we didn't get the back, the game was completely different there.
Right.
So this game, I mean, Stroud was just bad. Those balls were just, I mean, even his touchdown throw, like he was still behind the guy. Like he still had to reach and get it. Like
And that's
you
what the
can't.
difference is. Even the plays that work out don't look good. Like, it's not cohesive. It doesn't look clean. So, and I credit a lot of that to the Patriots defense, right? Like, they took away the ability for of Houston to run the ball, and they made Stroud throw it. That's the recipe. If you can do that to Denver, you're gonna have a lot of success. If you can say, "Hey, RJ Harvey, you don't get to beat us. Jarrett Stidham has to be the one to do it." That's the recipe for success. Other teams have tried that against them, and it hasn't quite worked out. The Chargers said, "Hey, we're gonna make you not be able to run," and then Drake May's gonna have to beat us. And we said, "Well, we're gonna run the ball anyway, so don't you worry about that."
Next game can be quick. Seattle 41 over San Fran, 6 points. So
Sad.
Seattle takes a kickoff to start the game with Shaheed for a touchdown. That's 7 points. The game is already over.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, so if you look at it that way, I know San Fran didn't have Kittle. If they did, it wouldn't have changed much. Maybe they have a touchdown instead. But big Ken Walker game. Charbonnet went down, which is going to be a tough loss for them next round. But Ken Walker just showed us I can be a lead back, and he crushed it. He looked explosive.
He has for so long been the best running back on that team, and I was rooting for San Fran because I had them in every
Same.
bet. But
Yep.
he really showed that, like, he can be a dominant running back against what I consider to be a pretty good defense in San Fran. So if he can show up like that consistently, the Seahawks are a problem. The not funny part, but the hard part now for Seattle is they have to figure out how they're going to finagle this running back room in the offseason. Ken Walker needs a contract. Charbonnet is not going to be ready to play next season, at least not for the start. So Seattle's in a quandary here about what they do with their running back room. But if I'm sitting there and I'm Ken Walker, I'm going, well, I earned it. Like, you paid me, or I'm going somewhere else. And I think at his age, somebody will pay him some money. Maybe not, $12 million a year, but if he gets 9 to 10, he should be happy to take it run.
I agree. Last game, we got the Rams 20 over Chicago 17. This goes into overtime after a unreal Caleb Williams fourth down pass, which was a touchdown to Cole Kmet. He
That
does it
was
again.
CEO after the Patriots game.
I mean, this guy can make unreal throws, and then the easy throws he just can't make. But I mean, they were in the game. They were right there. They lost in overtime by a field goal. But yeah, I mean, every Bears game late in the season and playoffs has been very fun to watch because you're waiting for that, that big play from Caleb, and we got it again.
He's been very impressive in clutch time. You would almost wish that he would just be more solid throughout the game, so he didn't have to do it in clutch time every single week.
He wants to be a clutch time. Like, it's so weird.
The flip side is for LA, this was not an impressive performance. Like, they didn't do anything that was overwhelmingly positive. I wasn't like, I don't know. Nothing about their team blew my socks off, right? And that's now kind of back-to-back weeks between the Panthers and
Yeah,
Chicago.
towards the end of the game,
Yeah.
they start it, and
These
then
teams I would like expect them to beat more handily. Like, I was all over the Rams to win this game. I didn't think it was going to be as close as it was. I didn't think it would be an overtime game. And they just haven't really shown up to the level that I would have expected to see out of them. So this is not a positive trend as they go to take on Seattle, who couldn't have looked better in their game, which I know we're going to get to the championship preview here, but this is not the form you want to be rounding into as you head forward towards the playoffs or towards the end of the playoffs.
And they got Adams back. He still looked kind of slow, still kind of coming back from that injury. So hopefully it's better next week, or I guess tomorrow. But yeah, we'll get into the conference championship previews. You want to take the first one?
Denver versus New England. I mean, this is really going to be a similar matchup in terms of what the Patriots have to do to succeed as what they had to do against Houston. You need Kayshon Booty to continue to win man coverage. I mean, that one-handed catch was unbelievable. If he's going to continue to put stuff that like that on his reel
And that
every
was against Stingley, right?
I believe so. And then you have Stephon Diggs, who's shown up when you needed him, big moments. Hunter Henry continues to contribute. Travion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson, just doing what they're asked, and really that's it. On the flip side, RJ Harvey needs to establish the run. So does the Denver offensive line. If they can't do that, they have no shot.
And J.K. Dobbins is officially out.
Oh, he is. Okay. So
Yeah,
it's
so he didn't come back.
100% RJ Harvey and
As
we know who their backup is there.
Tyler Beatty is there,
Oh, yeah.
Jaleel McLaughlin.
Okay. So if he can't get it done, the offensive line needs to blast some holes. The problem is with Milton Williams and Tonga and everybody back for the Patriots. They have let up some of the least amount of rushing yards in the league. So it's going to be a war in the trenches. I don't think this is going to be a Jarrett Stidham wins you the game thing. I think it's going to be Jarrett Stidham doesn't lose you the game. If you're Denver, you're hoping that he goes out there and he plays like Alex Smith in 2014 on the Niners. That's like your best case scenario.
And in quieter news, we'll get Mac Hollins back, which only improves the offense with his blocking, and then you can see a big catch from him here and there. But his blocking, I think we definitely missed it. So him coming back on the field is absolutely huge.
Yeah, it also lets Kyle Williams, when he's on the field, do what he wants to do, which is run routes, and he doesn't have to worry about blocking because blocking isn't done for Kyle Williams.
No, exactly.
Not at this point in his career.
All right. Seattle and Los Angeles Rams, they play Sunday night. Like you said before, like the Rams had to figure it out. 20 points last week isn't bad, but it's not great. Then that's with overtime too. So they lost to Seattle by a point in the season. That's when Seattle went for two at the end of the game instead of tying it for overtime. So these teams are definitely used to each other. I mean, I want the Rams to win. I have the Rams winning, but watching Seattle last week, who didn't even have to use JSN at all and put up 41 points. It's gonna be scary, and it comes down to what Sam Darnold we have. I mean, Darnold didn't have to play really a quarterback position last week since they were up so big so early. So that's great for Seattle. You get the ball out of his hands, but this
Well,
is
and he got to
his.
rest that shoulder that had been bugging him, which is.
Right, yeah. But this is the biggest game he's ever had, so we'll just see if he turns into Sam Darnold or is actually legit.
Yeah, no, I think that's the exact right point. Is it's all going to hinge on what Sam Darnold shows up. If he can get the ball to his receivers, specifically JSN, you'll be okay. I think Ken Walker can handle full-time running back duties. I'm not super worried about that. The offensive line has been playing lights out for Seattle. LA needs to show up. They have great pass rushers. They have a good defense. Landman has been one of the best players, like out of nowhere on their defensive line or coming off their edge. He kind of plays like an outside linebacker, hybrid DE role. You've got him and then Jared Verse, who need to show up and actually like legit pressure, get in Sam Darnold's face, make him see those ghosts that he's so famous for talking about. And then it's going to come down probably to the MVP or the potential MVP with Matt Stafford. Can he sling the ball around to Puka against a very good secondary in Seattle? I mean, they're not Legion of Boom status, but they're like right there with them. They look damn good. They've got some absolute stud cover corners who can hang with pretty much everybody, but Puka's a little bit bigger, better, and faster than almost everybody. And then Devontae Adams down in the red zone is damn near unguardable if you ask anybody in the NFL. So it'll be very, very interesting. This is probably the more interesting game, if I'm being completely objective. As a Patriots fan, I have more invested in the other game, but this Seattle versus LA, they say it all the time. It's so hard to beat a team three times in one year, or even just to play them three times in one year. The third matchup is almost always like a slobber knocker, knockdown, drag out fight. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out. And these teams don't like each other too, which is going to make for a fun one.
Yeah, it's gonna be very, very chippy. So,
Familiarity breeds contempt and all that.
Yep. All right. I guess that will do it for our podcast. We'll get you next week, maybe, probably for a Super Bowl preview. Hopefully it's the Rams and Pats, MVP versus MVP. But that's just me. I mean, yeah, let's make our predictions. I'm Rams Patriots.
Yeah, Rams Patriots.
All right. That's easy.
Simple prediction for that game, Patriots.
Rams.
Yeah, I knew you'd be
Okay.
there. It was you and your boy Stafford.
Stafford, yeah. Sorry.
It'll be
Sorry,
interesting though,
Pats fans.
and we'll have clarity on who actually wins the MVP by then, whether it's May or Stafford for sure.
Yep.
If they were playing each other, it would be a very poetic end to the season to see who wins. Maybe Matt Stafford wins the MVP and then Drake May beats him in the Super Bowl and
Super
he
Bowl MVP.
passes
Yep.
the torch to him. That'd be kind of
Yeah.
neat.
Yep. Exactly. It'd be cool. I mean, again, if it's Rams Pats, it's a win-win for
Yeah.
me because I just love both
Nothing could go
quarterbacks.
wrong for you.
Yep. All right, take us out.
Alrighty, Shelfies. That's it for this episode of Top Shelf Fantasy. Scott Mill and Corey Dow signing off. And remember, volume's king, touchdowns lie, and championships are built, not bought. See you next week. Keep it top shelf.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.